Well, we return this morning again to Acts, the first chapter, verse 8. I told you last Sunday I had quite a ways to go yet on this text, and I still have. But maybe we'll get out of it someday. Get on to some other things. But this one's so important that I feel inclined to take plenty of time on it. And it says, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." I was thinking about power. Power is expensive. When you pay your power and light bill every month, well, you discover it's expensive. But I was thinking about the different kinds of power, and you know, we're in a time now where our nation and our people have become very much energy conscious. And even the power companies themselves that sell you the power that costs you the money, they're urging you to conserve on power, energy. Save all the energy you can. They know that there's trouble down ahead if people don't do this. But the power I'm talking to you about, it never runs short. Amen. And you don't have to conserve on it, just use all of it you can. I thought of power this way. You take a motorcycle, that's power, and that's transportation, pretty economical transportation. It'll get you around. It's kind of a fair weather transportation. People don't like to ride those things in bad weather. But it's economical transportation, and it can go miles and miles on a gallon of gasoline, but there isn't as much power involved in a motorcycle as there is in a car. Now you go even to the compact cars, the small cars, they rate more horsepower than motorcycles do, usually. And they use more gasoline than a motorcycle does, them little ones. Then you take an average size car and it'll use more gasoline than the little cars. More expensive to operate, but there's more power involved there. And then you take the big cars, heavy cars. There's a lot more comfort in them, but they're a lot more expensive to operate too. They use a lot more gasoline than a little car does, but it's the power involved. You're producing more power. A small, light truck will cost more to operate than a car. But the reason it does is more power involved. A big truck will cost a lot more to operate than a little truck does. But the reason there's so much more power involved They have those big trucks that pull three bottoms down the highway now. A lot of expense involved in operating them. But there's a lot of power being used there too. Well, we go on up to the train. The locomotive that pulls the train of cars down the railroad track. And it really costs to run one of them. But just think of the power that's being exerted there. You're paying for that power. Yes. And they can just pull hundreds of tons down the railroad. But it's costing to do it. Freight rates are pretty high. You got to pay for that power. Well, you take these big moguls of the sky. And I don't know how to calculate or estimate the cost of operating one of them. Or the gallons of fuel that it takes to fly one of them a mile across the sky. But just think of the immense amount of power that's being exerted there. Hundreds and hundreds of horsepower pulling that thing through the sky. Well, then I thought of us. In our Christian experience, in the church, the power that we're able to produce. And we get some big ideas in our minds. Maybe in our minds we're soaring around up here in these ethers. Just like the big sky mogul that hauls the immense loads of freight. But if in actuality all the power that we have is to push a motorcycle down the road, that's where we are. We're just right down there. But the whole idea of everything I've said is that power is costly. And the more power you use, the more it's going to cost you. Perhaps that's the reason why many people don't have any more power in their lives than what they have. It's because they're not willing to pay for that power. Power's costly. But you can have all that you'll pay for. And then God got a lot more too. There's no exhausting the power of God. He's all powerful. The God that we serve is almighty. He has all power in heaven and in earth. John the Baptist said a great thing when he said concerning Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. Folks, there's where it is. That's the crux of the matter. Just to whatever extent that we get out of ourselves and let Christ fill that place and expand in our lives, that's the power we're going to have. Amen. But that's where the rub comes. People don't want to do that. People want to have their own way. Well, let me pause right here to say your way is not very good. Yet you want it anyway. But our ways aren't very good. God's word says it is not in man that walketh to direct his own way. It's the getting out of ourselves and letting Christ fill ourselves that produces the power in our lives.
Amen.
The first condition of discipleship was, if any man will come after me, Jesus said this, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's the first condition of discipleship. We're going to have to surrender some things and submit some things in order to allow Christ to enlarge in our lives if we're going to have the power that we need to overcome our problems in life and to live triumphantly and victoriously over all sin. The problem with every one of us is we think too much of ourselves. And we don't want to deny ourselves. And we want our way. And we get our feelings hurt if we don't get our way. And if somebody crosses us up a little bit, why, we go away with our feelings hurt, and then we have no power to overcome things. That's a great curse of the human family, is the bent toward self that we all inherited in that depravity of nature that we came down to us from Adam. It's got a bent to self in it. That's what keeps showing up. That's the side that keeps coming up. He must increase, I must decrease. That's the only way he can increase is for me to decrease. I've told you different times, but I like it and I keep telling it. About the old, old song, there's four verses in it. The first verse says, all of self and none of God. The second verse says, some of self and some of God. The third verse says, less of self and more of God. And it finally wound up on the last verse says, none of self and all of God. That's where the power is, but it costs more than what people are willing to pay. The more power you use, the more it costs you. And I might say in passing right here at this point that God isn't running any REAs. That was an act of Congress way back there. When they started running rural electrification systems out through the rural areas, and they called it the Rural Electrification Act. And it run electricity everywhere, and people out in the rural areas have the same advantages as people in the city. They have power, and they have running water because they've got power to pump it and everything, and they have lights and they can operate all their utilities and their appliances and their different things that run on electricity. They can operate them just like you can in town, but God isn't running any REAs. He said, all my springs are in thee, O Zion. People's got to get into Zion, and they've got to get down into Zion in order to take advantage of the power that God produces through the Holy Spirit. Now we've been talking, and I'm not going to get very far on this point that I'm going into now. We've been talking about power over ourselves, power over our own wills, power to rule our spirits. And that's a basic essential in a successful Christian life. You will never in this world be able to live for God till you're able to whip yourself into line.
Amen.
Bring yourself under. Paul says, I keep under my body and bring it in subjection. And then he follows with the thought that if I don't do this, I'll lose out. We could hardly imagine such a thing, could we, as a spiritual giant like Paul being a castaway and losing out, losing his relationship with God. But he said, that's what will happen to me if I don't keep my body under and bring it in subjection. I say, to emphasize it again, that this is a basic essential of living for God, and you'll never live a successful Christian life till you're able to whip yourself into line. Bring yourself under. Power over yourself. Power over your own will. Power to rule your own spirit. Now I'm going to get in here into something that you'll have to mull over some, I think. When I get to thinking on this line and talking on this line, I'm reminded of N.S. Duncan. He was a boy preacher that worked with my father back in the early days. Both of them were just young men. And my father got a call for a meeting down the country somewhere, and they said, we want you to come at a certain time and bring somebody with you. Well, my father was used to working with N.S. Duncan, so he told my mother, he said, I'll just arrange to get N.S. Duncan to go with me down there. Well, he thought he'd see Brother Duncan, and he'd come around most any day, he'd see him, and he didn't come. And he didn't see him, and he didn't see him, and it is getting time for him to go. He had written the people and told them, Lord willing, he'd be there and bring Noy Duncan with him. So he decided he's going to have to go over where Noy Duncan was and let him know that he had farmed him out for that meeting. So he went over there and he found Brother Duncan working out in the field. And he told him, he says, I've written to the folks and told them that you and I would be down there and start the meeting at the appointed time. Brother Duncan was just a young fella, just a boy. He started his ministry, I think, when he was 17. And he was just a boy, and he was kind of struck with this idea. And my father said he looked down and twisted his toe in the ground and didn't say anything for a little bit. And finally he said, well, Austin, did you tell them folks that I was just a boy preacher and that I couldn't preach much and it pushed me awful hard to live what I did preach? Well, when I get in on this point I'm going to get in on now, I think of that. It pushes me awful hard, and I'm sure it would you, to live what I preach on this line. And it takes more power than just what humanity can afford. I'm going to talk about your mind and the power of the Holy Ghost working effectively in you will give you power in your mind to govern and control your thoughts. Now that's a big order. I know it's a big order. God knew it was a big order. So He said, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to help you. In the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 26, He says, likewise, also the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Now, infirmities in that text does not refer to arthritis and tuberculosis and cancer and different physical ailments like that. Infirmities in this text refers to our human limitations and our natural weaknesses. Things that we cannot surmount in the human. God knew we couldn't. So He furnished us with the Holy Ghost to give us power beyond the human to do what was necessary for us to do, to live victoriously. He will give you and me power over our innermost thoughts, power to govern our minds and control our thoughts. In the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians, verses 4 and 5, He says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now God's furnished us with weapons to do this. Power to do this. Mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. Casting down imaginations. My father used to say imagination was the greatest nation on earth. And I'm just about of a disposition to believe that. And there's a lot of problems that originate in imaginations. Concoctions of our mind. Things that our mind works up and that our thoughts run on. A lot of problems develop right in there. God's furnished you and me power to cast down imaginations. Folks, you and I do not have to be whipped on any line or in any way by the enemy of our souls or him to have any advantage over us at all. Some folks say, I can't help what I think. And these thoughts just come and I can't help it. Well, I hope you don't mind if I disagree with you, because that's what I'm going to do. You see, I've just produced a text here out of God's Word that says you can't. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. power to cast out our unpleasant and undesirable and doubtful and suspicious and imaginative thoughts, and power to receive into our minds the thoughts that will bless our souls and build us up in the things of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Folks, let's get the idea of carnal warfare out of all of it. God's people don't have any business in carnal warfare.
Amen.
And we don't have any business in a carnal warfare of words either, or of thoughts. We can be strongly combative in our minds, in our thoughts, and it'll break the agreement and fellowship among us. We don't have any business in that kind of warfare. The Apostle Paul said, "From henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." Folks, it's knowing people out of the flesh that's responsible for a lot of our confabs. A lot of the problems that we have. Paul says, "I'll not know any man after the flesh. The only way saints know one another is in the Spirit." And that's the only way we know Christ is in the Spirit. When we can get flesh and blood out of it, we can solve our problems a lot easier. And we can get along a lot better. Live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Serve God in the Spirit. Our warfare isn't carnal. Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Let us realize the position we're in and what we're up against and what our enemy is, and recognize the fact we don't have any time at all to get involved in combativeness one with another. But we can get wonderfully combative in our minds and our thoughts. And I coined a little pair of words last night or this morning about verbal brutality. And I'm in contact with more of that than makes me comfortable. We can just exercise quite a little bit of verbal brutality on folks. One translation said they cut me down with sharp words. And I've left some places feeling about knee-high to a child, just cut down, battered by verbal brutality. Well, that comes out of our combative thoughts that we have in our minds. Somebody says to me once in a while, "I just speak my mind." Well, God bless you. Help you out. I say what I think. God bless you again. And help you out. That doesn't help anybody. That doesn't edify and bless any soul. God has furnished furnished you and me with weapons to govern our thoughts and control our minds. And when we can do that, there won't be so much verbal brutality come out of our minds. Now he says, to the pulling down of strongholds. And I thought this over. And I thought, now the strongholds, I thought of the strongholds of the enemy as the taverns and the gaming houses and the nightclubs and honky-tonks and one thing and another, and that was the strongholds of sin. That's where sin abounds. And I thought, now how are we going to pull them down? How are we going to get at those things? But the Lord showed me plainly that those things were of the world and the world was running them and we couldn't do anything about them. But the strongholds that he was talking about was in the people's minds. A build-up they had in their minds. We read in the 18th chapter of Proverbs, in the 19th verse, that a brother offended is harder to gain than a strong city. Well, that must be true. God's Word said it. But why is it true? What's the problem here? I have the answer, I believe. It's because he's got a build-up in his mind. His thinking's all affected by what he feels that you did to him or said about him or said to him or what not, and his feelings were hurt and his thinking's all affected by that. And every approach you make to him, maybe you make it with all sincerity, you want to get things straightened out and cleared up, but every approach you make to him, he interprets according to what he's thinking. The thing he's got in his mind. And it's difficult. Things are hard to handle. People that are affected that way need more power in their lives than what they have, and God has promised it to us. God provided it to us. And said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I have a little tract up home. You probably have it too. It's widely circulated. The Mind Under the Blood. Folks, that's where we need our mind. It's under the blood of Jesus Christ, with the blood flowing through our minds and purging it all the time. And keeping it cleared out of all those kind of thoughts and those kind of things. If you can't help what you think, you just need more power in your life than what you have. God's Word promises you and me. It tells us that He has supplied us with weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Power to control our minds and govern our thoughts. And if you discover that you've got something running in your mind that's distracting you and worrying you and causing you distress, stop and appeal to God. Amen. For the power that He has supplied to bring that into subjection. To cast that out. He has power the same as he had when he was here. He had all power in heaven and in earth, he said, when he raised from the dead. And he's just the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has that power now. And he has that power in you. And if you will just decrease and let him increase, you will just submit to him and allow him to work in you, to will and to do of his good pleasure, he'll exert that power in you to the knocking out of all of those unpleasant, undesirable, suspicious, imaginative, destructive thoughts out of your mind. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Well, I'm not through with that part of it yet, but the clock's going around there and I'm closing right now. But your mind is the most important part of you. God knew it. So he furnished you with a power and authority to govern your mind and control your thoughts. Amen.